We continue our reading today as we turn to the Gospel of John. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? That what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones who did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Let us pray. God of all that is known and all that is unknown, you reveal yourself to us sometimes in amazing ways, and other ways in times that are confusing to us. Reveal yourself to us now through your holy text that we might see more clearly your glory in our own lives. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, who revealed to us the gift of eternal life. Amen. So what's he talking about? What's he talking about? Flesh and blood, eat my flesh and blood. What's he talking about? Any ideas? Maybe he's talking about zombies are popular right now. They might have been popular back then too. I think it goes in cycles. Vampires a few years ago, maybe not so much. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. This is a difficult teaching. Who can accept it? Because of this very strange teaching, these very strange words that Christ offered, many of his disciples turned back. They'd no longer go with him. These are the words that hit me like a brick wall when I was trying to find a way to make myself my way through this passage. It's right at the beginning. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. So often in our readings, we hear that Christ goes from place to place, and his teachings are so profound, so meaningful. His teachings and healings so miraculous that his number of followers only increase. They only get bigger as he goes around. It's extremely rare that we ever read about times in the life of Christ where he lost followers. There were a few extreme situations, like Judas betraying him and Peter denying him, but those are extreme ones. In today's gospel reading, the disciples are responding to the teachings that Christ is offering. Their lives aren't at stake, like Peter's was. There was no deceit or malice in their hearts when they left the side of Christ. Today, Jesus loses some of his disciples because what he was teaching was too hard for them to accept, too hard for anyone to accept. Or so they thought at the time. To be fair, we're not talking about the parables of Christ. Those teachings, though sometimes confusing and often very cryptic, were not terribly offensive to the sensibilities of the people in those days. Nor do we today find the parable of the sower terribly offensive to us. No, what Jesus was teaching today was something different. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. He said they had to eat his flesh. I can understand why that teaching was a little hard for his disciples to follow. For those who recall, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about pretty much the same thing over and over again in the Gospel of John. It all started back on August 2nd in our lectionary, where Jesus is talking about the bread that brings eternal life. He finished that teaching by saying, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." That's quite metaphorical, because he's basically saying that all who come to him and eat and drink what he has to offer will have eternal life. That's an easy pill to swallow. In the John readings from following weeks, he went on to compare the bread of life to the manna that their ancestors ate in the desert. It sustained them for a short while, but not forever. He went on to say, "This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die." Indeed, he went on to say, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Still pretty metaphorical, but near the end there, he's obviously talking about something different. I often wonder what his mood was like when he was teaching these particular days. For us, this spans several Sundays, right? We've heard about it four times, five times over the last few weeks. But for him, he was teaching these people kind of all in one sitting. I wonder if he started with metaphor and then just became progressively more and more frustrated. He became frustrated with their thick-headedness, with their unbelieving, and eventually, by the last week, he just shouted out, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood, they'll have eternal life. I'll raise them up on the last day." I can just hear him shouting and following that up with, "Do you get it now?" And the disciples scratching their heads and some of them walking away. Unfortunately, when some of Christ's own disciples heard this, they didn't like what they got. Eating flesh, drinking blood, it wasn't really a thing that you do, at least not other people. But how many of us can read a passage like this and not become a bit squeamish, both in our physical bellies and our spiritual bellies? How and why would Christ want me or you to eat his flesh and drink his blood? But we do this all the time, don't we? We did it here today, didn't we? Every time that we gather around this table and join in our holy feast, we share, as we say, the words, "in the body and the blood of Christ." And no one runs screaming, warning the authorities that cannibals are active at the United Church. We're perfectly fine with that language, at least some of the time. Because in our heads and in our hearts, we know that what we share here points to something more than the physical. Like baptism being an outward sign of an ever-present inward grace, we offer this meal as an act of the radical love that Christ offered. Sure, meal is a stretch when we talk about communion, when we talk about these tiny cubes of bread and these little, for lack of a better word, shots of juice. But it's meant to be symbolic of something we're called to do in our lives. Everyone has a place at this table, and everyone shares in the grace that comes here. As I finished communion, somebody said to me, "Gosh, that tastes like more." And I said, "That's what grace is about. Tastes like more." Looking at you, Etta. This meal that we share, it harkens back to the Last Supper, yes. But just as much, it should remind us of another feeding miracle. Feeding of the 5,000. People were hungry, and Jesus fed them. The flesh and the blood, the bread and the cup, the loaves and the fish, they point to a life and a love we are called not only to embrace, but consume such that it is a part of our being. An integral part. In this way, when people call on us seeking help, we respond as Christ did and offer our hand. When someone is hungry, we don't just wait for someone else to help, but we share our bread and our cup, or we're supposed to. And we don't wait until we think that they deserve it. And we don't hold back because we think they might not help us later. Like Christ gave so completely of himself, so too are we called to offer what we have and who we are to build one another up. Today, we've come across a hard teaching. And we're still left with many questions about what he really meant when he said that. When we read passages like this, hard and difficult readings in both the First and Second Testament alike, it's important for us to see past the words to what God is saying to Israel, to what Christ is saying to his disciples, and ultimately what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us through all of this. So each week as we explore these texts together, let us remember to listen to the message of the Spirit in our hearts. Let us go to these readings and ones like it, seeking love, and no matter what, a God of love will shine through. A Christ of compassion will reveal himself. And a Holy Spirit of peace will fight its way to the surface. May this always be the way that we approach our holy texts, seeking love and finding it. Amen. Before we move to our next hymn of praise, I just wanted to comment.